Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Okay, hey, we're back. Welcome to Edge of Indy. Thanks for joining us on our live stream, our weekly live stream, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. The reason we do this show is to really bring focus to Indianapolis, the Indianapolis causes, entrepreneurs, innovators, movers, and shakers. We feature people, organizations out there helping make Indianapolis an awesome place to live and visit. So we talk about this often enough, but I have to repeat it. Choose local and choose local often. That's what Edge of Indy is all about. So I just want to introduce to you marketing manager of Burger Fuel Worldwide. This is Alexis Lamb, or Lex as he wants to be called. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know what? We love burgers. I mean, I'm just going to lay that right down here. I mean, everybody knows I'm a meat connoisseur. Okay, well. Maybe I need a connoisseur. I just love meat. All right. But I have heard such amazing things about Burger Fuel. You've come all the way from New Zealand with 88 locations in 6 different countries, and you've opened your first location here in Broad Ripple, Indianapolis. Can you tell us a little bit about Burger Fuel and why you're so different?
Well, Burger Fuel, I mean, obviously we're a New Zealand concept, and we're from the other side of the world. And, you know, we started off in 95, and I guess we're one of the first few companies to start up this concept of a gourmet burger, something better than what the multinationals were doing. And if you think, you know, I guess 22 odd years ago, there wasn't much out there other than just beef, cheese, and a bit of ketchup and a bun. So, you know, we really looked at that. And, you know, in New Zealand, there's this really huge connection to the food. You know, yeah. We're really close to our farms and we're really close to the produce and everything's fresh. So, you know, our founder of the company, Chris Mason, who now lives in Indiana. He's moved to Indiana. He's all part of it. He's going down. He's all in. So he's here. He's got his family here, and it's all happening. And you know, he sort of looked at the idea of just, you know, I guess what we call everybody's favorite food vice, and then just going, well, how can you make this better? You know, in terms of how can you use more natural ingredients that are more wholesome, and how can you create a better experience around it as opposed to just going to a place that's just pumping them out as quick as they can, as fast as they can. And it's just, you know, this idea that I guess he was probably, and he'll hate me for saying this, he probably was the, what you'd say, the first millennial in terms of, you know, this mindset of why should you sacrifice? Why does having something fast and something good value mean that it should be bad quality or that it should be a bad experience? And it's like, no, why not just do everything and have a great burger and have a great experience and have it being at a really nicely valued price.
Breaking the concept of you can have quick, cheap, or less quality. Take two of the three. Actually, I'm remiss in actually introducing Tyler Spartan. I'm so sorry.
Oh, sir. You're fine.
He had a great experience over at Burger Fuel. He's our social media manager, and he wanted to bring Burger Fuel in because of his experience there.
Yes. I had, we went about 2 weeks after you guys were open. Our digital strategist, Brittany Harness, and I, we actually went and we wanted to try it out because we thought about, hey, you know, this is a new company. We could bring them on the edge eventually. We went. We loved it. It was great, great, great. The culture was everything. The food was amazing. I think what brought me in was the grass-fed burgers, which was really, really cool.
Fantastic.
And then the organic chicken was great. I got the sweet potato fries, and I love sweet potato fries, and they were so good. Really, really enjoyed them. And I think what was really cool, though, and something that we want to touch on is the culture and the environment that you walk into when you walk into a Burger Fuel. Can you touch on that a little bit?
So I guess a big part of Burger Fuel is this idea of, you know, there are obviously elements of New Zealand culture, but, you know, even back home, we're still a little bit different from everyone else. So I guess it is, I guess this Burger Fuel culture, and we have this idea, we call it sort of like fun, fast, and loud. This idea that, you know, you want to have a bit of fun, you want things to be quick, and in terms of our personalities, not about shouting at people or anything like that, but we really want to be a place where our staff and our employees can just be loud with their own personalities and really project themselves out and just be who they are.
Huh.
Back home, we were sort of the first place that was known to hire a lot of people who had tattoos and piercings and all of that. And for us, that was just about, well, just come to work, be who you are. And so long as you're, you know, you're great at your job and you're friendly with the customers,
right.
and you're enjoying yourself, then really, what does a tattoo mean? What does a piercing mean? It doesn't mean you can't do your job. So that's what we sort of became known for back home. And not that we specifically look for people with tattoos or piercings, but we just seem to sort of attract people, I guess, where, you know, we're slightly alternative, you know, we're in there. But I guess we're really just open-minded in terms of, you know, whatever goes, we just want to have a good time. And I think that's a big part of our culture. We're also pretty laid back, you know, and I guess that's the idea of, you know, come on in, you know, just cruise on in, mm-hmm. order your burger, sit down, chill out, we'll bring it over to you. And you know, I guess we don't want to try and build too much, I guess, pomp and circumstance around what is really, you know, it's a burger, you know, and obviously it's a great burger, and it's we put as much into it as we can. But I guess we want that environment to be sort of like a house party, you know, and that's how we look at it. It's just, we've had everyone over at our place, and some of the people are people we've never met before, but some of them are kind of old friends or regulars, and they're a bit more comfortable. They know what's going on, and, you know, yeah, and they're just coming to say hi. And I guess that's the environment we're going for.
Yeah.
It should be relaxed, and we don't really, you know, believe in sort of this idea of this is how it has to be every time. You know, so, right. so, you know, we don't really believe in sort of forcing our staff to go, you must do it this way. It's like, yeah, of course we want you to say hello to someone, but you know, yeah. if you've got another way that you want to say hi, you want to say what's up or whatever it is,
right.
You know, we're sort of, you know, we're sort of like a mam sir free zone. although, you know, I think some of the guys, that we've got, they're finding that interesting, and it's not that we don't want people to say it, but we don't want people to feel that they have to say it.
Right.
But if they want to, then yeah. I guess
well, what
can,
you're doing
yeah.
is opening up for pride in their work.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen the systematic kind of desensitization of if you're in one of these franchise environments, then you're not allowed to even be personal. Yeah, you're just a cog, right? Mm-hmm. And you're doing the antithesis of that. You say, hey, this is our home. And you're building energy, and you've got that type of connection between employees, right? So they're championing, they're having a great time. And this is an era where there's a shift now. I mean, the culture of business, we talked about that with
Ryan McCarty.
And Cluster Truck. Truck was also a great example of such a pride in what they're doing, right? Is that it's not that the food's extemporaneous or marginal. It's not. But it's the community that they're getting together, and they're loving what they're doing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and that's for us. I mean, like, you know, the food for us, like, that's got to be a given.
Yeah.
You know, that's expected. You know, you can't compromise in that. And, you know, the standards of food are just getting so much higher and higher every day. And mm-hmm. it's great for us to come here and see that a lot of the things that we've been looking for and wanted, we've been able to get, you know. Grass-fed beef, it's been fantastic to kind of deliver that to people and have people just want to try it. You know, we weren't even sure if people would like grass-fed beef yet.
Now, are we talking about local beef?
No, it's not local,
okay.
but it's still fresh, and we're bringing that in. You know, it is flying in from Australia, but
wow.
it is grass-fed. And I guess that's the idea of this kind of purity that we search for, and this natural kind of inherent goodness to it. That if you know it's grass-fed, you don't need all the science, because you sort of know what grass is. And if you know there's no hormones in it,
right.
you know, there's no GMO feed, then, well, you know, that's it. I know what it is. And we sort of had this philosophy of, like, once, you know, the ingredients start to have numbers or
right.
descriptions that we can't pronounce, it's like, well, we don't want that in our food. So, you know, I guess that's our philosophy on food. But I guess the culture is that a lot of the guys, you know, and I've worked with the company for about 10 or 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's an amazing company. And you know, a lot of the guys that have worked with us, and a lot of the guys over from New Zealand that are here, have worked with the company for a long time. And I think the attraction of it was that I don't think we ever really set out to build a system or a network of outlets or anything like that. We all were really excited about kind of creating this culture and this brand. And, you know, and I think the culture is a big part of it, because we want people to not be robots. We want people to be part of a culture which still has some ideals and some things, but it's all about they're working towards sort of like this common purpose of, you know, we call it fuel for the human engine. And it's just this idea that, you know, the whole reason you eat is not just because, you know, you're supposed to do 3 meals a day or whatever, and it's just something you do. It's actually you eat to live, you know, to enjoy life, to go out and party and kind of get into the things you're passionate about. So, you know, I guess the best food that you get in is You know, the fuel that you put in determines, I guess, the outputs, you know, and that's right. How we look at it.
I mean, you are what you eat. And yeah. I think what you're tapping into is also there is a pushback on all these GMOs, on all these the food industrial complex or whatever that is. I mean, you're answering what a lot of us are screaming for is that we'll pay more. We want the option, the opportunity to eat that healthy, right? And eat grass fed, no chemicals. Absolutely. I mean, you're right in the right space. You combine that with a high energy culture where you can actually have personality and you can dive into you know these type of you know free zones to express yourself. Then you got something. That's your brand right there.
Yeah, I mean, even I look at that photo and that's the guy on the left there. His name's Cairo, and he works for us. He's one of our designers, but he also happens to just be a world graffiti champion. So
that's
him
awesome.
And his crew, they won the world graffiti championships in Germany twice, and then they just sort of went, okay, we won it twice. We're out. We're going to carry on doing it. But he runs this program for us, and we call it Creative Suite, and it's this idea that everyone's into creative arts now, where it's videography, photography, mm-hmm. or just street art. We also are involved. We always had a big sort of street art and tattoo art sort of kind of, I guess, heritage to our brand. And he came in over here, and one of the things we want to do is to become part of the community and just say, hey, Broad Ripple, thanks for having us. He landed, and he's been doing murals around Broad Ripple. So we went through a whole bunch of the local, you know, business associations. We hooked up with Brook and Market, the Broad Ripple Village Association, and they kind of got us talking to a whole bunch of local businesses. And we said, look, do you have any neglected walls, anything that's been sort of just left behind? I think in about a week, he did about 6 or 7 different walls around the place. So he's done, you know, a few round of hours. But if you kind of, I guess we kind of call it like painting the town purple. And so if you see those colors, then that's kind of like our little thank you to Broad Ripple. And, you know, since then, we've hooked up with the local indie guys called Fab Crew. And we're hoping to kind of make this program an ongoing thing and really get out into the community and sort of, I guess, bring life to things that are dead. You know, when it's that wall, which is kind of, you know, that gray wall that's kind of had a bit of a tag on it, and there's just a little white patch that was been rolled over. They didn't do quite the whole wall, and then some of the paint started off. It's sort of like that could be so much more, and it's been really awesome. You know, we've had everyone coming in, and you know, this wall in particular is on our building, and we found that was just a little bit unloved, and people have been coming in and taking photos of it. So you know that they kind of feel that it's sort of all of a sudden it's become this like, I go to Broad Ripple, you got to take the shot next to the Broad Ripple you know, has a wall. So that's cool.
It's like it's a staple for Broad Ripple now. I mean, just like the Rainbow Bridge that people like to go to, or the Monon Trail. I mean, it's really, really cool. This is a place for people to go. You know, you've created this culture, and it's really this really cool place. It's kind of stepping outside of that corporate box that places like Burger King or McDonald's have, and you've kind of created this own environment where you said that people can be themselves, which is really cool. And this, you know, that kind of flows over into your customers that come in. If people can come in and be themselves and be happy, and then, you know, kind of indulge in that environment and taking pictures like this, it's really, really neat. That you guys have done something like this.
Well, you guys are finding your why statement, and your customers are aligning with your why statement, why you're doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, what's been really nice for us is that, you know, Broad Ripple, you know, itself actually feels like where we opened our very first store in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
So there's a, you know, in Auckland, which is, you know, my home city, and it's Burgerfield's home city, there's a little suburb called Ponsonby, and it's very much like Broad Ripple. And, you know, as I've met more people in Broad Ripple, it's sort of this place which is really diverse and eclectic, but also very accepting. But there's no one type of person at Broad Ripple. There's just, everyone is just who they are.
Right.
And that's really, really nice. And, you know, our whole company is just really built on the basic fact of this is what we're into, and you know, we really hope you're into it too.
And if you're not, it's okay.
It's okay. I guess that's the I guess that's that thing that I think a lot of brands these days are scared of not pleasing everyone.
Right.
And I think, you know, for us, it's all about, we really want to please the people that love what we do and are into the same things, rather than sort of making that experience for them vanilla because someone else said that they don't like that, you know. And it's not, you know, we're not there to tell people to get lost or anything like that. But it's just sort of, this is who we are, and we hope you like it. If you're into this thing, then we do that. Otherwise, it starts to become a bit fake. And I think that's for us, is this idea of authenticity is huge to us, that you know, this is what we love doing and this is what we're into, and because of that, you know, it makes it easier for us, because it's like, do we like it? Yes. And if we do, we'll carry on doing it, rather than always trying to constantly guess of like, oh, what does the market want? What does the, you start to talk in these broad sort of, you know, buzzwords and terms, and you kind of get lost in all of that. So, you know, I think that's what's been really nice about kind of, you know, coming here to America and actually just putting ourselves out, putting kind of the Burger Fuel heart on a platter, literally, and just going, well, we hope you guys like us, America. And so far it seems that everyone really does, and you know, we've just been blown away by the response. You know, all the reviews have been awesome, and just everyone just coming to check us out. You know, I met this guy he drove over from Louisville. I don't know how to say it as good as you guys do, but
you did a good job. Yeah, absolutely.
He came over to say that, and then we just, you know, one of the guys called me from the store and just said, "Oh yeah, someone drove 8 hours to come see us." And I'm like,
"No way!"
You know, I mean, 8 hours in New Zealand is almost the whole country. So, you know, so we're trying to get our head around that. So it's been cool, and the passion of the foodies in this place is amazing. Just, you know, I definitely have to, you know, say a big shout out to the Yelp community. They've been awesome. And,
there it is.
You know, really come to just go, hey, there's something new. We want to try it out and just see if it's good, and just come in with an open mind because it's a little bit different. And yeah, they've come in and, you know, they've been really awesome. It's just been nice. And, you know, with everyone's come in without an agenda. Mm-hmm. And they've also been really friendly. And yeah, it's been nice. I've been amazed also how friendly everyone is in Indy. You know, it's actually made us feel a lot like we're at home.
That's excellent. Well, I certainly want to implore our live audience to ask questions as we're conducting the interview. How has Burger Fuel been accepted by the community? It sounds like they were waiting for you almost.
I don't know if they were waiting for us, but, you know, even if they weren't, it really feels like, you know, if I was moving into a house, it would feel like on day one, all the neighbors came in and dropped off some, you know, home baking and all that, said welcome. That's what it's felt like. Everyone's been really nice. And I think, you know, coming over, you read about this idea of who's your hospitality.
Yeah.
And I definitely know I'm not saying that right.
But you're good.
And
better than most.
And, you know, you hear it, and you never know if it's just a tourism thing. It's like, oh, well, if you come to the Indy 500 or you come to one of the conventions, you know, we'll put on a good show for you.
Right.
But what's been really nice is that it's I've spoken to a lot of people here about it, that it's a really lovely one-to-one, genuine sort of type of hospitality. It's right. Actually, you talk to someone and they just want to hear your story, but not to make small talk, because they actually want to know.
Right.
And then the conversation comes from that. And then they sort of, then after that, they make a call after that to decide whether or not they like you, as opposed to some other places where you go there, you talk to someone and they've already decided who you are. And then you're starting off and you're having to prove yourself, you know, from the get-go of the conversation. Whereas here, it just feels like you're talking just like you're meeting potentially your neighbor or your next best friend or whoever it is. And it just feels really natural. And I think that aligns with us for how it is back home, because, you know, we're sort of this, you know, small little series of islands on the other side of the world. We've only got 4 million people. So, in the whole country. So, you know, I think we're almost outnumbered by the sheep still, but, and everyone here still thinks that we're part of Australia, which is fine. You know, we get that, and we, you know, Australian are happy cousins across the water. So yeah, it's been really nice that people have just kind of asked a story, but, you know, we used to just sort of, well, you know, talk to people nicely, because, you know, you don't know who they know.
Because
it's so small, everyone knows everyone. But, you know, you think when you come to a bigger place that you can kind of get away with, you know, ruffling a few feathers. But no, it hasn't felt like that. It's just felt that everyone's been really friendly, you know.
Let me ask you this. As you've moved in, when did you get into Indianapolis?
We opened on Memorial Day. So we opened right on Memorial Day, and that was kind of like, you know, what's going on, and, you know, what's happening here. And we've been learning about, you know, how public holidays for us is a public holiday is like it's a day off.
And, right.
And you know,
not here.
Yeah, over here it's sort of a public holiday, but you know, some people get the day off, but it's not really a day off. So but you know, we weren't sure how busy it was going to be, but right. You know, everyone just turned up, and you know, we just loved the number of people who just said, you know, normally in New Zealand it's like, oh, you've been around the neighborhood, you know, and then you stumbled onto us, and the number of people who have just been like, no, we came here.
Yeah, they're intentional.
You know,
absolutely.
It was like day two, we had people coming in and going like, I heard about your vegan burgers. And we're like, wow. You know, we weren't even sure if there was going to be a big vegan community here in Indy. We weren't sure if people would even like our vegetarian and vegan burgers. You know, back home, we've got about 3 or 4 vegetarian and vegan burgers. And and actually, I know that in America, those are considered sandwiches, not burgers. But, you know, we call them burgers, you know, and
I call them distractions. But
distractions.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, yeah, it's been really nice. I think, you know, I think it was sort of like a week before we opened, you know, we were having some drinks in one of the local bars, and as we've done on many nights, and you know, met with this girl, and she had this lovely big vegan t-shirt, you know, t-shirt that said vegan across her chest. And, you know, I said, oh, look, hey, how's it going? Oh, we're opening up a burger joint across the road, and, you know, we do vegan burgers. And she said, oh, that's great. And she runs the Vegasaurus food truck. And,
oh, wow.
And then she kind of told her friends, and her friends told their friends, and that's been amazing. It's just sort of like the whole vegetarian and vegan community have really come out, and they've really given us a shot.
Cool.
And it's been interesting because, you know, our vegetarian and vegan burgers are a little different as well, because everyone here seems to like their beans in their vegetarian burgers.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, and that's something that we've been trying to come to grips with. But, you know, we have quite different flavors in our food. I guess for us, you know, eating vegetarian food and eating vegetables is all about color.
Right.
Eating
right.
Lots of different colors, and sort of, you know, the vegan burger we have, the V8 vegan, that's sort of like eating a rainbow. You know, and that's sort of, you know, the idea of what nature wants to provide you of, you know, kind of looking and visually just going, wow, this looks flavorsome and I want to get into it. That's what my body needs. So, yeah.
Well, that's what my food wants to eat. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not gonna stay away from that. Hey, are you guys looking at new locations?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at new locations. I mean, I think now that we've, you know, swung open the doors and we've realized that, you know, people in America like us, and that's really nice. You know, of course, you know, we've got big plans. We'd really like to expand, you know, across Indianapolis. And of course, we'd love to go further than that. So, you know, we're definitely looking, and we're really excited about sort of being part of Indy. You know, I guess it's really cool. And, you know, even outside of the customers who have welcomed us really well, you know, the guys at, you know, the Fab Crew guys, you know, the guys at Red Bull, and, you know, the guys, you know, the local music community. So we've hooked up with a guy called DJ Metronome, and he's got a fantastic DJ name as well. And it always kind of makes me think of this garden gnome playing on the decks. But, you know, so he's been awesome, and he's kind of connected us with the local music community. And so these guys are all kind of, being there, we've talked to them and we told them about sort of how we do things back home, and they're really excited about sort of us being here, and we're looking forward to actually, yeah, just doing a good run at
Very
open
cool.
a few more
That's
stores,
awesome.
Yeah, and
That's
kinda
really cool.
making Indy, I guess, our new American home.
Cool. What is, I wanted to ask you one thing in particular, because I know that when we went, we took about 10 minutes to find out what this cardboard thing we got on our tray was, which is, you guys call it the doofer.
Yeah, the doofer.
We thought it was a hat or something for our drink. We didn't know what it was. Can you explain, like,
So the doofer, and I apologize that we didn't get around to explain it to you properly, but so the doofer is our burger holder. It's a Burger Fuel invention. So it's something that you only really get at Burger Fuel. It's our thing, and it's a cardboard burger holder. So it's designed, as we say, the doofer reduces the juices. So you fold it up and it stops everything falling out the bottom.
Oh,
and
wow.
You know, it kind of clicks in there, because you know, our burgers are they're really big.
Yeah.
and they're quite juicy, so it doesn't completely eliminate the juices. It it just sort of reduces them, because, well, you know, who wants all of that gunk kind of over their clothes,
right,
when they can have it sort of in their burger. So yeah, that's that. And yeah, it's just a funny little thing that we've had for years and years and years, and it's part of the Burger Fuel experience. And I guess it's the way that, you know, us looking at food and the environment and the culture of the place, just going, well, there's got to be a better way to do this. And if there's a better way to eat a burger, then that's great. And if there's a better way to cook a burger, then we'll look at that. If there's a better way to mix a sauce, we'll work out that way. And I guess we're sort of a very, a very restless kind of brand, and that we're always looking for a way to make something
better.
Oh, you're
taking it seriously. And you're showing passion in what you produce. And that's the other thing against the chains.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that there's no passion there. You're taking care. And you're showing love into what you're producing. And that's demonstrated by the innovation, by the personalities there. And on top of that, I mean, just what you're producing as a whole is uniquely different not an eating experience, but I mean, you're tying culture so indelibly to it.
Yeah, it's always nice that you when people pick up on that, because our head chef, Chris Mills, and he's one of the very many unsung heroes of the Burgerfield world, and he's been around, and he's been over here for quite a long time now, and he's just been tasting everything, because you put the recipe out, but everything's a little different, because the water might taste different, or the brand of olive oil might be different, or the certain sauce that's here might be a little different, or even the produce might be a little different size or something like that, or have a little bit of a different flavor. So he's been coming in, tweaking the recipe just to get it perfect, and I think that's because that's food, and we'd hate to be the sort of company that would ever put a product out that no one's tasted.
Very cool.
Because I think we all know what it's like when you follow a recipe from a recipe book and it never quite turns out like the picture that first time you do it. So I guess that's the way that we look at it. We felt that if we're going to come here, we're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Well, to wrap up, I really appreciate your time. I am seeing here that you've got your own brand of ice cream. It's not only burgers.
I haven't
What's
tried
going
that
on
yet. Yeah. Haven't tried that yet.
So we've got this. So we found this, really cool organic soft serve, and here in America, we're using it in our shakes. So it's this idea that and I guess this is the way we look at all our food, is that you still want it to taste. You still want it to taste dirty, but you kind of just want it to be as healthy as possible. We never wanted to strip away that idea of that a burger is juicy and awesome, and same as a shake.
Right.
But if you can get it and it's organic, then that's great. And we also have a completely dairy-free almond soy shake, and people have been going crazy over that as well.
I have to try that one.
and it's this idea that hey, if you decide to go completely vegan, or for whatever reason you can't have dairy, that you want to have something that is as good as what you used to have.
Right.
Not this is the lower grade version. And as a fellow omnivore, extraordinaire, as soon as I hear the word diet or this or that, my mind, or healthy even, it's just like it's not gonna taste as good.
Yeah.
Because it's like I don't want to sacrifice that flavor. And I guess it comes back to that idea of that classic Venn diagram of sacrificing between the interchange between quality and speed and price and all of that sort of things. It's like, no, you still want that quality, you still want that flavor.
Right.
And I think that's what we've been known for back home, as being in New Zealand. We've been doing vegetarian burgers for 20 years, or vegetarian sandwiches, as they call them here, vegetarian and vegan sandwiches. We introduced gluten-free to the market back home, and we're the first people to do it. And I remember when we first launched gluten-free back home, we would get these letters in from people. And this is, we're talking 5-10 years back, and when before gluten-free was really a big thing, and no one really knew what was going on. And we would just get these letters back from people, and I'd just be like, thank you so much. I haven't had a burger in 10 years. Or, hey, brought me to tears because my son, who's never been able to hang out with his friends at a normal place.
Oh, wow.
Now he gets to have a burger, and now he gets to be normal, because we all know what it's like when you're a kid. You just want to be as normal as possible.
Very cool.
So I guess that's been really cool for us, just to see that, food can have that sort of impact. And but now coming into, America and the world 20 years later, where these things are the norm, I guess we approach it from a thing of, it's got to be something that, even though I don't need to eat gluten-free, I would happily eat that.
Yep.
I'm fine with dairy, but it's got to be something that I would happily drink in terms of a dairy-free almond soy
shake. That's a good screening there. Absolutely. So 88 stores, 80 restaurants in 6 countries, and there's no stopping Burgerfield.
Oh, there's no stopping. I mean, hey, look, we're excited to be in it for the, you know, we're in it for the wild ride. It's been good. It's
absolutely,
it's been a bit of a roller coaster as it is in many things, but it's been really exciting. And we're loving Indianapolis. Indy has been good to us, and yeah, we're loving it here.
Very cool. Well, you can check them out over at 6320 Guilford Avenue in Broad Ripple. Check out Burger Fuel on Twitter at Burger Fuel. The same with Facebook, Instagram, and burgerfuel.com/US will get you all the information on Burger Fuel. Are you hiring right now?
Yeah, we're always hiring. So we're always looking for good people. I mean, we've got big plans to grow. So if anyone wants to jump on a career site, definitely check it out, or cool, just come and have a burger and talk to the staff, you know, and see if you like the place. So we're looking for people to join the Burger Fuel family.
So let me ask you, I mean, with the family, yeah. You've got all these employees. Do you have a particular name for all the employees, all the family of Burger Fuel?
The in-house thing, we call it Bike Club. So that's our crew. So we call it Bike Club, and that's sort of this internal program that we have to invest in the staff. So we have this idea that from a marketing perspective, that a lot of companies, they only worry about marketing to customers, and often marketing to new customers. So our whole thing is about marketing to our staff, and if we're going to do something for the customers, we want to do it for the staff, but also we want to concentrate on our existing customers, because if these two groups of people are happy, then that's what we should focus on, rather than trying to churn and burn. So that's kind of what we build a lot of our brand around. And, you know, we've got some awesome staff, and, you know, they're loving it. And, you know, one of the ways we do that is, you know, so a lot of the, I didn't realize that no one in America wears, denim shorts from a guy's perspective. So I didn't realize that
was phased out a little while ago.
we didn't realize it was a New Zealand thing. So, but all the denim is from sort of these New Zealand kind of clothing brands that we do, and also the shirts that we do are all designed by these cool street brands that we work with, and we kind of work with them and collaborate with them to come up with these cool things for the staff, so that way they can feel proud about wearing. And it's sort of like the food. If it's not something that we would wear, then why would we give it to
there
them?
You go,
you know. So yeah,
all right. So any final shout out to the Black Club there?
Keep on keeping on there in Burger Fuel land. And thank you so much to all our new Indiana staff who have really just, you know, who took a chance on us. All of these guys applied for a job, and they were like, who are these crazy guys from New Zealand? And they gave us a shot, and and it's been awesome getting to know them all.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Lex. And I'm certainly going to go up there. Yes. I think we're going to be doing a company-wide trip up to Burger Fuel here.
Excellent.
In the next
it's our
week
new
or
half
so.
Day of fun.
I'm thinking
we'll just go
so.
There for the whole day. They've got alcohol. So, I mean,
no.
We can go up there and do that.
All right.
Yeah, we even got some Kiwi craft beer. We got these guys called Yeasty Boys. And we managed to.
Why
smuggle.
Didn't we start with that as the first
question?
I know. Well, it's because it was extremely hard to get alcohol into this country. If I'd known that it was going to be so hard to get foreign beer into this land, I probably would have put cocaine on the menu instead. It probably would have been easier. So, but we got there, and I apologize to everyone who kind of came in to try the New Zealand beer, and it wasn't there in the first couple of weeks. That's my fault. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
But we got there. It's in store. And, so shout out to the Yeasty Boys as well, I guess.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we're certainly going to be up there to visit you guys.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
so thanks
much.
For investing in Indianapolis as well, because that's what we want to see. Companies coming in and understanding our hospitality, and you certainly see a huge lift from our community. And thanks for taking a chance here.
Oh, no, thanks for having us, Indy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we're going to be joined by Jake Waddell, the assistant event coordinator over at Indy PopCon. Coming up right after this, check out this commercial coming up. It's about site strategics.
Well, this was site strategics investment in the Indianapolis community. We wanted to really help NX3 shine. It's a fantastic opportunity to be able to bring site strategics and everything that we've been able to grow to be here over the last few years, and then plug into the community, be able to help, be able to support a number of brands that are here. But more importantly, really, it's a gathering for our team to really just get out of the office and just have some fun together. A lot of times, we're working so hard that we don't see a lot of the tech startup community. And this is exactly why we moved downtown, is to be able to have that connection. And this was a great platform to be able to really roll out what we do. Last year was the year of pivot. I mean, we left the South Side, knew that we had to be downtown in Indianapolis just because of the technology scene. And on top of that, we tripled our footprint, our square foot footprint downtown to make room for our live cast studio, as well as be able to expand into a much larger collaborative space for all our employees. Our role in the tech community is going to take off like a rocket ship. It honestly is, we look to help give lift to so many companies with our digital marketing tactics, as well as our studio, to be able to paint the picture, tell the why story of so many of these organizations. We've got a great team of videographers, be able to, you know, podcast technology that is surpassing almost everybody in the country. And I'm really proud of this convergence of skills and technology to help tell a story for all of these other companies. We have organically grown, and we are now bringing a great number of really sharp people into our organization, because it's time to do that now. And with everything that we've been able to invest in, from skill sets and technology, we are now really able to tell our own story, as well as so many other companies. And I got a lot of pride in who is part of this organization now. I'm proud of each and every individual that works for Site Strategics. There's no way I could have ever done this without a good deal of blessings and a good deal of really caring people to get us to this degree. And I'm just so excited about what we're about to do. The next couple of years is just going to be fantastic.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Okay, hey, we're back. Thanks for hanging out with us at Edge of Indy. And if you hadn't seen it yet, jump on board here. Well, I can't really tell them to jump on board if they're not seeing the stream. Somebody, one of your friends, must be telling you what's coming up here, because you know what? We have a great event happening this weekend. It is Indie PopCon, and we are proud to be able to have Jake Waddell, Assistant Event Coordinator of Indie PopCon. Sir, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. And we also have one of our special employees. Special employees.
I'm a very special employee.
Thanks, boss. Nice.
Appreciate that. Love it.
That's Jared Jewett. He is account executive for Site Strategics. And what brings you to the table today?
I was asked to be here because I'm kind of the resident mega nerd besides you. You're the Batman nerd.
Okay.
And I try to handle pretty much everything else. So.
Oh, I've got Batman, then Fallback, Star Wars, and Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
In that priority, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Good order. I'll take it.
So, Jake. Sorry, we're having a little internal conversation.
Nerd versus geek, man. I know
that's
all about
exactly
it.
Right.
That's really what it is.
Okay, we'll talk about
that.
Nerd versus geek.
Yep.
Now, do we actually bring out our nunchucks or some lightsabers?
Yeah. You're more of a geek, right? And I'm more of a nerd?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that.
I'm glad we're self-identifying here.
Yes, that's good.
All right. What's Indie PopCon all about, man?
Okay, so what's great about our convention, man, is that we don't focus on just one level of nerd fandom. We focus on everything. So it's about pop culture in general. There's a lot of conventions that are just video game or just comic book or just board game for that matter. We focus on everything. So TV, movies, sci-fi, comics, video games, YouTubers, celebrities. I mean, we've got a little bit of everything for everybody, and that's why I love the convention so much, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Oh, very cool. So it's coming up. It's coming up this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the events in the past and what we're going to be expecting this weekend.
Sure. So this is our fourth year going into it, which is amazing. Our attendance has grown so much over the past couple of years. It basically doubles every year. It's awesome. So this year we've got Podcast Awards. So we're actually going to have a little awards ceremony, give out awards for different categories and stuff like that. So hopefully you guys will be a part of that.
We have submitted our
You did submit?
Yes, we did.
Excellent, excellent. Good deal. I might end up being a judge in that. So this may be a little...
grease in the palm a little
this
bit
This could
here.
Be... Was this purposeful?
Hi, yeah. Jake. How you doing, buddy?
Right.
Welcome to the studio.
Absolutely. It's a great studio. So that we're going to have escape room again. We always have a really nice escape room.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
They actually make one specifically for PopCon. So they engineer one for our convention in general, which is fantastic.
It's got to be great because, I mean, nerds and geeks, we'll figure shit out.
No matter what. Yeah.
We'll stay up all night to do it, too.
I have to imagine that it's probably got one of the highest success rates at the nerdier conventions of the escape rooms versus, like, the crime con that happened recently. Sure. I'm sure a lot of people didn't make it out of that one. We've got plenty of YouTube guests this year, of course, with YouTubers that autographs and meeting sessions are always free with those. So that's a great thing.
Can you name
those.
Some of the guests coming up?
Of course. In the YouTube realm, we've got Peanut Butter Gamer. We've got The Completionist. We've got Nikki Taylor. We've got, almost everyone from Normal Boots, which is a huge YouTube community.
Yeah,
a lot of people know who those people are. Magikarp Usefly, Darkmane, Frost Prime. The list goes up. Pro Jared. I mean, it's
really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But no PewDiePie.
Not this year, right?
Maybe when the Wall Street Journal's done doing their thing.
Skewering
it. We might. But so a lot of people from Normal Boots.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. We're super excited about that. We've got VIP experiences with Matt Ryan, who played Constantine, and Edward Kenway in Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yeah.
And we also have one with Greg Grunberg, who was in Star Trek, Star Wars, Heroes, Alias. Lost. He's best friends with J.J. Abrams. So anything that guy's touched,
this guy right here.
That's the guy
it's
right
nice
there.
Nice connection to have.
It is. Yes. We've got a VIP experience with him. We've got all kinds of things going on. We got Ebash back this year, who sets up a really big online gaming community where you can face each other in Smash Brothers and Overwatch.
They do a really good
Duty.
Job.
Overwatch, really?
Yes.
And COD. Wow.
And they do more than just Indianapolis, right? I mean, they're all everywhere now.
Yeah. They do a phenomenal job every single year. It's such a blast. They set up so many different computers and gaming systems. They have tournaments with cash prizes. The COD one's $5,000. They have some good cash prizes. It's a lot of fun to participate in that and just to spectate. I mean, esports is actually starting to make its way slowly onto like ESPN 12 or something.
Yeah.
But it's on there.
Actually, if you know about Noblesville actually has an esports team.
Do they?
There. Yeah, and they actually have a bunch of students that are being guided, and I mean, they're actually being recognized by
and recruited. And there's scholarship money involved. I mean, that's all sorts
Isn't that crazy?
Of crazy stuff.
I mean, it's just as much of a mental sport as chess is.
Absolutely,
and even more so.
I'd say even more so.
Dexterity to it.
Yeah,
of course, absolutely.
And on top of that, I mean, just we could get into a whole other conversation about just that. But I mean, you're finding some great talent.
And some
kids are just killing it. So. How much has the event grown over the years?
Immensely. I mean, we started out our first year, was 4 years ago. We did a Kickstarter to help fund that. It was just a bunch of guys that came together that loved going to things like Gen Con and Comic Cons and stuff like that. And we didn't have a ton of attendance our first year, but as far as the first year goes, it was amazing. Hmm. Like, it was higher than most cons will ever see in their first 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Well, and the word on the street was so good, right? Because I run in a bunch of nerd circles, and I remember hearing and seeing on the internet, seeing some advertising for some
Absolutely.
Of the really preliminary pieces, right?
Absolutely.
And then the word got out kind of on the street, and people maybe weren't there the first day, right? But then the second day they showed up because it had just blown up into, oh my goodness, it's safe to be here as a nerd, as a geek.
Exactly.
This is all the stuff that I want to see.
Our community's
Make sure you
fun,
come right? out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the streets were filled with cosplay people who will find any chance that they can get to show up to any sort of convention, right? And so people downtown were saying, well, this isn't Gen Con, right? What is this? What the heck is this? And then the word, oh, well, it's PopCon. Okay, can we go to PopCon? Okay, so it's not, we don't have to sit down and play a board game, do we? Oh, no, you can show up and talk to your favorite Star Wars character and talk about your favorite TV shows. And I think that was huge for you guys that first year.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how I experienced it.
Yeah, 100%, man, absolutely. And the way that we focus on, like you were saying, all kinds of levels of nerd fandom. Yeah. So we don't exclude anybody. We're very inclusive. Our community is amazing, especially online. We've got everyone that helps support us, and we don't even need advertisers because we have our community is so big and so passionate about our convention. They do all that for us. And just being able to include everybody. We have a cosplay contest every year. We have a kids' little cosplay show that they do. We just include everybody of every demographic and age group that we can. It's a blast, man. I love it.
We're gonna. I'm gonna have to bring my family. My 17-year-old is a COD fanatic, and he's to jump into that.
You should have him enter, man.
Yeah, I really should. I think I know what our plans are this weekend.
Have him cut you in on the prize.
That's the plan right there.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the panels that will happen at this event this year?
So we have panels with Greg Grunberg. Sure. We have panels that my favorite of all time is Twisted Tunes. And that's where voice actors come together and they read a movie script and all of their different characters' voices. Cool. It's the best thing ever. This year we're going to have Phil LaMarr, Richard Horvitz, Troy Baker, and who's the fourth one? I've been planning so heavily this past month, especially. So it's basically the voices of Samurai Jack, Invader Zim, someone who does a ton of video games. Jess Harnell, the Wacka Warner from Animaniacs, is the fourth one. No.
How cool is that?
So we'll have people from Invader Zim doing his voice, and we haven't decided for sure on we haven't publicly announced which movie script it's going to be, but they've done things in the past like Back to the Future where they would read the voice of something in Invader Zim's voice, where they would play Doc Brown. Or they would do it in the voice of Pooh Bear, and it doesn't have to be great. The people that they voice. Yeah. Their agent Jeff Zanini will give them a voice to do, and that's who run with. And every different little section of the script, they will change up their voice and something different.
Those
every
people
time.
Are so talented.
They really are. That's the best panel that we're gonna have hands down. Yeah. I love it.
You also have a podcast stage set up in the cafeteria.
You do.
All right. Since podcasts are where we live and breathe, tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcasters love being there, and the fans love it there. The great part about that is people will come, and that's where all the food is, of course, and then the food trucks are right outside that area. So people that are coming in and out to get food from the food truck or to be in the cafeteria to eat, they have a show in front of them at all times.
Sure.
We have podcasts running all day. So podcasters get exposure from everyone that's sitting around in that area, because everybody needs to eat at some point. Whether or not you're interested in what's going on around you, you're going to have to get some food at some point. So having it there is perfect, and then having all the
you might say we have a captive audience there.
You might. 100%. You might say yes. People are much more attentive and happy when they're full.
That's right.
So they'll be more willing to listen to anything that's happening at that point. but podcasters love being there, and then, like I said, the fans love being there too. And then we're having those podcast awards, so maybe you can get on there. And the podcast awards are Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So when are you guys doing your show?
We're doing our show at 3 p.m. on Friday. That's
excellent.
That is 3 p.m. on Friday.
That works out really well for you.
3 p.m. on Friday. Cameraman, 3 p.m. on Friday. 3 p.m. on Friday. Come on out.
Please
to
come
Indie
listen.
Pop.
So it's 2:30 on Thursday.
No.
Oh! Edit that.
3 p.m. on Friday. Excellent.
Yep,
good.
Got it.
Awesome.
That's fantastic. That's another thing is that, local Indianapolis podcasters, and it's just not local India, obviously.
Right.
There's podcasters coming from all over the place.
The Podcast Awards is just local.
Okay, very good. That is a great outreach to a community that's burgeoning right now. That's a huge wake of great innovators in this space.
Oh, 100%.
And I mean, high respect for everybody that's in that space. It's great just to have that community inside of this community as well.
Absolutely.
Cool, cool, cool. So some of the extra events that you have at PopCon this year, what are those?
So we have a couple of after parties, of course, that's going to occur on Friday night and Saturday night. That's going to be at Gate 10. Mm-hmm. We actually have live musical performances there. So that's going to be something that's just amazing. We're also screening the premiere of Castlevania, which is a new Netflix show.
Yeah.
And we're doing it with the producer, Adi Shankar. So he's going to be there at the premiere of Castlevania.
You're talking about the first-person shooter, Castlevania.
God, get out of here.
Come on! Oh. Darn.
Yeah, not a shooter.
But
that's going to be phenomenal. I've had reservations about video game movies in the past just because they've been terrible.
Every single time.
But
Doom. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. But with it being animated and it being with someone that I trust, I've seen a lot of his videos. He's done like some Power Ranger videos online, Judge Dredd videos, and they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
So him producing an animated version of Castlevania, which it needs to be animated. I'm super excited to premiere that with him. And he's doing an actual class on filmmaking in general. So if you wanted to go take a class with him, he will show you how to produce and how to do some behind the scenes stuff with movie making. And that's going to be one of my favorite extra events as well, is being able to sit down with him. That's going to be on Saturday as his master film class, and you can sign up for that.
I was
going
to say, can you walk us through some of the logistics of that? Do people need to go online and get tickets to the specific
events? They are
extra
tickets, yes. Yeah, so for the film class, you want to go to the same spot that you would go to. On our website, up at the top, it'll have a buy tickets link, or you can do tickets.anypopcon.com.
Okay, got it.
And then it'll be an extra product over to the left. There will be the Castlevania screening as well as the master film class.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, we actually are doing a Revenge of the Nerds movie screening with Curtis Armstrong and Robert Carradine. So that's also under the same area with tickets.anypopcon.com, and you can purchase a ticket to that. The movie screening itself is $10, and that's all. And that's going to be at the historic Artcraft Theater in Franklin.
Okay. Great.
And if you want to go afterwards, after the movie, there's a dinner with the stars. So Robert Carradine and Curtis Armstrong, that's $50, and you get to go have dinner, and that's the meal included.
Okay.
You get to go have dinner with the stars of Revenge of the Nerds.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm super stoked on that.
You talked about some VIP packages or VIP experiences.
Yes.
Is that all kind of lumped into one, or do you get certain things you don't get in others? Or
So the VIP experience with Matt Ryan and Greg Grunberg, those are two separate individual things.
Got it.
Then, so those are... It depends on who you're a bigger fan of, really. If you're a fan of both of them immensely, then you can get them both.
Cool.
We'd love you for that. Please do.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not going to fault you there at all. But yeah, the VIP experiences are specific to those celebrities. And
then,
of course, we have our normal VIP package, which gets you photo op credits, gets you a t-shirt, gets you all kinds of extra VIP lounge access. And
you guys are doing it up, man. Fantastic.
Yeah. We love to think so. And it's super fun doing it, man. I'm having a blast, and I love our community more than any community I've ever been a part
of. Awesome.
You also have, that's awesome to hear, you also have a weekly internet show, Con Job.
We do.
So tell us about that, man.
So that is something that I actually edit myself. So Carl and I, we do those every Tuesday, and we write them every Tuesday, and we film them every Tuesday. So basically, we go into the office and we say, so we have something to talk about today, right? And he's like, I hope so. And then we just go through everything that we can, and we film that at our office at the Stutz building.
Cool.
So we just basically, it's not nearly as nice as your setup, not even close.
You're welcome to come over sometime.
Hey, we'd love to use
it.
Basically what we do is we type out notes on Microsoft Word, we take a piece of tape and we tape it to a tripod. We put a camera on top of the tripod, we put a pillow on the ground, a boom mic standing up on the pillow like this, and then we film it, and that's how we do it. We film Tuesday morning. I have it edited and published Tuesday night.
Rock and roll.
So, yeah, I was using Sony Vegas for a while, and then luckily I got gifted Premiere, and I've never went back.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
All right, so let's just kind of do a wrap up here. The who, what, when, where, and why. Where is the event?
The event is downtown Indianapolis at the Indiana Convention Center.
Okay, and we're talking about 1 o'clock on Friday. It starts.
Correct.
Okay, and it's going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got to check out all the information at IndiePopCon, PopCon.com.
Yes.
You've got everything, all the show hours, all the way through the weekend, as well as, there's so many different tracks and different panelists that you have there.
Absolutely.
How much square footage do we have here that you guys are executing this year?
I don't know the exact square footage.
That was a geek thing. I'm sorry.
I didn't take a tape measure and run along the halls.
Come on.
We've got a ton of space. We've got more vendors than we ever had. We've got over 175 vendors this year. The floor space needed for that, it will accommodate that. We've got, over 20 internet guests alone.
Very cool.
And then the rest are celebrities, artists, and we've got over all of our artist booths sold out, so all kinds of art being sold.
That's great news. And that's such good news locally, too.
Yeah, I'm absolutely.
Sure. And regionally, I mean,
we
tons
love
of
creators.
People come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of my friends who went, again, the first year, kind of on a whim. bought artist booths, and it was probably the best convention they went to all year, right?
And that's what they always say that. We love it. We love to support local creators.
It's very economical. I mean, literally, we've got 3-day admission. You get $60. That's $100 value. I mean, $30 for Friday, $40 for Saturday. That's fantastic. Really good. And kids 10 and under are free.
They are.
That is fantastic as well. Any final thoughts? What are your big plans for 2018?
Oh, gee. Well,
now's the time.
Yeah. Of course, we like to get bigger and better every year.
Yeah.
We love to have bigger names out there. I mean, each year that goes by, more people hear about us, and we get in contact with more agents that have more people available. I ran into this job on accident. I did a Pokemon Go event last summer. It was just supposed to be for me and my friends. Ended up bringing out 6,000 people.
Yeah.
That's how I met the people at Pop. Oh,
my gosh.
I remember that.
I ran that on total accident. But it ended up working out really well, and then I got into the field and realized event planning is something I really like doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to continue to grow with PopCon, and we just keep getting bigger, and maybe it doesn't have to just be Indie PopCon in the future. Maybe that could be our home base, and we can kind of spread out from there.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, we certainly implore everyone who has any line of geekdom and nerddom, you know, in their blood. You got to come out and check this out. Support your local community. Support all the geeks and nerds. And even if you're not, right? And I think there's a geek and nerd in everybody.
Everybody.
It's kind of like Elvis.
There's something
you know?
For everybody. There's something
everybody's
for everybody.
Got a little Elvis. Everybody's got a little geek nerd in them. So come out. I mean, it's fantastic setup. And we wish you all the best in the world.
Excited
to be able to see the other podcasters out there and just shining a light on Indianapolis and what we do around here.
Absolutely.
Right? Looking forward to it.
Fantastic. All right. So check out. Here's how you can connect to Indie PopCon. It takes place this weekend. Go get tickets at indiepopcon.com, right? Indiepopcon.com. Mm-hmm. And you can check them all out on the Facebooks, on the Twitters, Indie, as well as the Instagrams at IndiePopCon. And on top of that, just the site, indiepopcon.com. Well, that's a tough. If you go that fast, it's kind of difficult.
If you go that fast, yes, it'll turn to a
any. Any final thoughts for the geeks and nerds out there?
Guys, we're really grateful for you, for our fans, for the community that supports us all year long, and for local creators like you. We love watching you guys flourish, and we love supporting you and getting the support back. I'm super excited to meet everybody that I haven't got to yet. And we're really excited to have you guys out this weekend.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much,
Jake. Thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, that's a wrap for this this week of Edge of Indie. And as we are always asking our listeners and watchers, choose local and choose local often. Check out everything over at Indie PopCon. Make sure you go check out Burger Fuel and you know, contribute back to the community, because they're certainly rallying to give you some great venues to go and enjoy Indianapolis life. So this is Edge of Indie wrapping up. Thank you so much. And remember, choose local. Take care. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.